Call the state of...
State of Alaska.
Call the special committee on oil and gas, this is Vice Chairman Choquette. With me today is Representative Phillips. We're going to start our hearing today on House Bill 299, an act relating to municipal and utility liability for releases or threat releases of hazardous substance. I have a couple of announcements here that were given to me. In your packet, you'll find the letter from the municipality of Anchorage requested this bill, along with a position paper on hazardous material cleanup from the municipality of Anchorage. Do we have teleconference online?
Yeah.
Who's in Anchorage right now?
Oh, we have one observer, Vicky Sloppy with the AWWU.
All right. Vicky, you're there now. Would you please state your name and address for the record?
She's not going to testify.
Okay.
She's
here. Who
are we waiting for? Mark Primo. You might want to ask her.
Hey, is Mark Primo there?
No, Vicky's the only one here at the moment.
Yes, it's Mark.
Nor is he planning on coming.
I wonder if you could get word to him that we do have some important questions that have to be answered to this committee. We'd like to talk with him as soon as that can be arranged. Representative Lehman.
And she'll try to contact him.
Thank you. And please let us know, break in when he does come in. Representative Lehman, would you state your name? And
I'm Lauren Lehman. I represent District 9, West Anchorage, Turnagain Sand Lake, Taku Campbell, Huntington Park, and Warren's off West Subdivision, and the State House Representatives.
Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry I stepped in late, but I'm in another subcommittee meeting, and House Bill 299 is very similar to House Bill 547 that I introduced last year to help resolve a challenge that I think was unintended in, I think it was House Bill 68 in the 16th legislature, first session 16th legislature. And in working with DEC last year at staff level, I got concurrence that yes, this indeed is something that needs to be done, but it's more foot dragging than anything else. I think in making the changes for fear that it may go in and make some other changes in the laws dealing with liability for various spills of hazardous materials. I think this is a very practical solution to a problem, and when I stepped in, I know that Vicky Sloppy was on for the municipality of Anchorage. I didn't hear her testimony, but municipalities and other utilities that are doing construction right now, in a practical sense, the public pays for the problem that we have now, in that if they find a pocket of oil, the construction project in the practical terms is shut down until the owner of the project can determine what the source of that material is. And that investigation could cost obviously several thousand dollars, could take a long time to discover. And then what ends up happening is the contractor files for a change order. Everybody pays for it. The user, the utility user, or the municipal resident ends up paying for the cost. But what ends up happening is the clean material is replaced in the trench, and the source of contamination still remains once you determine that it's not your fault. And you can go on down your merry way into construction. A far more practical solution would be to, when you find materials like this, is to identify them and determine if it's indeed a challenge, immediate challenge to someone's life or health, and notify the DEC, probably identify the type of material, and then a determination can be made in the field if it's necessary to do any corrective work to either protect groundwater supplies or public health. And then you note in the construction log that the presence of that material, if it's oil or whatever it might be, and continue. And at some point in the future, if the DEC wants to pursue it, either, you know, by using the 470 funds or some other mechanism, that can always be done. But you have far better information than you had before because it's flagged in the construction log and on your drawings that you came across this material. And by replacing contaminated material with clean material, you've accomplished very little if you haven't removed the source of contamination. And if you replace it and continue on as long as the material is structurally sound, you keep the cost down. And then, so in my way of thinking, this is a good way to approach a problem that occurs with a fair regularity in the construction business. And I think it's a practical way to solve a problem that I urge the subcommittee to, or the oil and gas committee to advance this and support the bill. And I appreciate your introducing it.
Thank you, Representative Lehman. I have a couple of questions for you. Is this the intent to pass this bill through committee? Janet Adair brought up an interesting question earlier today in terms of, this is a liability bill for municipalities really, and finding hazardous substance when they're digging along the right-of-ways, and I recognize that you're, by all practical purposes, the sponsor of this bill, although form has changed some. I know you were the author of the bill that was introduced last year. The question, sir, is, what would happen if municipalities putting in a water line, they dig it out, they find some contaminated material, they contact DEC as required by law? At what point in time, or how do they proceed? You put in a lot of water tanks, a lot of water lines, et cetera, in your engineering background. Can they go ahead and continue it, continue on the job? Can they continue and then it can all be corrected at a later date? Or how would you see the municipality proceeding after finding contamination?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I can tell you what I would do if I were in the field. I would, most people who are in the field and dealing with construction and have been for a while, have practical experience with what they're finding, and if it were oil, which would probably be the most usual contaminant that you would find, it's possible that it could be some other type of fuel. But if it were something like that, it's likely that you can almost make that decision by inspection and then continue on, note where it is, and notify DEC.
In your opinion, sir, would you have to tear up the pipe once if you came back to dig out the contaminated material, or could that be done without tearing up the pipe you just laid down?
Oh, no, I think you can come back and remove that material or go back and re-examine it without damage to the line. Sure, I think it can be done. But there are times where you may not be able to make that judgment in the field, and I think those are the times when you may need to shut the project down, may need to notify DEC, take samples, and do the necessary laboratory testing to determine if there's imminent danger to health. You know, and any contractor is going to want to protect the life and health of his workers. And you know, you have to make some practical decisions like that in the field. And I would suggest any contractor train workers to identify that, not to overlook it. You know, the thing you don't want to happen is to have contractors suggest to workers, well, you know, we don't want to be shut down, so let's overlook this type of thing when you see it and move on. You know, that's not good either. Nobody gets the information that may be necessary for further protection.
Any questions, Representative Bill?
Representative Lehman, I'm sorry. What were the objections to this bill last year?
We heard the bill in, primary objection is my name on it.
That's true.
I think the only objection that was expressed by then chairman of the Community Regional Affairs Committee, Representative McLean, was the concern that This may allow a contractor, you know, through the owner, whether it's a municipality or the utility company, to spread the material, to somehow be negligent in its actions with the material that's removed from the trench. And as I explained, so this in no way alleviates them from taking proper care. I mean, if you're removing materials, you may want need to put a tarp down, maybe need to separate it from other materials so you're not spreading it, further contaminating other other areas. And you know, you take on some additional responsibility when you're removing contaminated materials, but if it just means putting it back in and continuing, you really haven't made the matter worse. If anything, you're making it better because you've identified the extent of the problem. And I think that's probably one concern. The other was likely the timing, just the timing of the bill, and then, as I stated earlier, that some reluctance on the department's side to really get behind it and move it because of just the political realities of, you know, they had advanced a substantial bill in House Bill 68 and didn't want to get back in to fix up that quickly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lehman. If you care to join us, if you have some time, we would appreciate it very much. Your knowledge on this bill would help us out. I'd like to call Joan Knuckles to give us a brief overview on the bill. She's staff for Representative Choquette.
This is Joan Knuckles testifying. The bill, in essence, would do three things. First, it would remove liability for the municipality or utility for the cost or damages that would result from the release of hazardous substances into a right-of-way or easement when that release is discovered or occurs as a result of excavation by the municipality or utility. Secondly, it would remove liability for the storage of excavated material in the easement of right-of-way while the release is being reported to DEC and a more comprehensive solution is being found for the problem. And lastly, it would remove liability for the reuse or replacement of the excavated material in the easement or right-of-way for in or near the point of excavation, again, while a more comprehensive solution is being found. Do you want me to talk about the amendment?
No, not quite yet. Do you have any questions? All right, thank you. Janice Adair, please, would you join us up front?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Janice Adair from DEC. We haven't had the opportunity to really do as extensive review of this legislation as we would like. As I discussed with you earlier, there is a question about the practical effects of what a municipality would do if it found contamination in a right-of-way. Would they just go ahead and lay the pipe, lay the line, have to come back, dig it up, and actually end up costing more money? I understand that the intent of the legislation is to relieve a municipality or a utility from strict liability. We do have a concern with the fact that the word occurs is in there, that where the release of the hazardous substance that occurs or is discovered as a result of excavation. I understand from Joan what the legislative drafter's intent was. That's on line 22 there, page 2. In putting that occurs in there, what they're trying to get at is if there's excavation going on and a substance that's already been released then moves into the right-of-way because of moving the dirt around, that they were trying to cover that situation. But another situation that would also likely be covered under occurs is where something happened and the release is the result of that act. And I think that you would want to proceed very cautiously down that road. In your amendment, you have a requirement that the municipality report the suspicion to the department as soon as practicable, considering the location of the discovery and availability of communication alternatives. I would point out that under existing law, you have to report immediately. And nobody's given any consideration for the location of the discovery or the availability of communication alternatives. Existing law in statute, in fact, I believe, says that all releases must be reported to DEC. We have then in statute kind of a schedule, depending on how big the spill is, how quickly you must report. So I would, we would prefer to see that comport with existing law rather than what could be, I mean, I'm not sure what as soon as practical means.
Okay, then it's my understanding on the third page, third line up from the bottom, or no, second line up from the bottom, as soon as practical, be changed to state in accordance with existing law.
I think that would be sufficient. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Representative Lack.
Which line? I'm sorry.
Third line up from the bottom on the amendment, Jim.
Oh, on the amendment.
Yeah,
okay.
Second line up from the bottom. Representative Phillips.
Probably one reason for putting it in as soon as practical is if you're doing a job, say, in a remote area, and there's no phone access, there's no access to any type of communication. So I would imagine that would be a consideration, and that's probably why that word was put in there.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Phillips, I think that makes perfect sense. My only point is we don't give anybody else that choice. No matter if you're an underground tank owner or something I'm familiar with out in remote Alaska, you have to report immediately to the EC if you have a spill. So I just see an equity question here. You're giving municipalities something you don't give to anybody else on the North Slope or in Bethel or in Tuntutuliak. They have to report a spill as soon as possible, immediately rather.
I don't imagine that DEC is going to split hairs on the fact that a contractor shuts down and drives 15 minutes into town to get a phone. You're not going to worry about that.
No, I think that would be immediate.
Hey, then, Dennis, I would have to check this out with Lauterbach, the one that did the amendment, to find out.
I can talk to him.
To find out reason, and Joan might be able to shed some light on this, but then if we left as soon as practical and added right after that as required by law, that would satisfy your objections or your concerns?
Off the top of my head, I don't know. I'm not sure why you would want to leave it in there as soon as practicable. I think that it would make more sense to say shall report to DEC as required under existing law. I mean, that's what you're getting to. And is it the same rules apply whether you're a municipality or whether you're a private person with a tank or something like that? That's just off the top of my head. I can't think of why you'd want to leave in as soon as practical.
All right, Joan, would you join us up there and maybe address that? You worked with the amender on this.
Yes, Representative Shoket, I can speak to the reasoning found in those last two lines of the amendment. This is the result of a discussion with the municipality of Anchorage, where they would perhaps be in a situation where they're laying a line out in Chugiak. Now, they generally only have one supervisor there at the spot, and what they are concerned about is that they will be in the same situation they will be in without the bill. That is, they'll have to shut down all their activities, drive to someplace to make a phone call. Then that person's supervisor has to come out to the site to determine whether a release should be suspected, whether the soil is wet, whether they smell an odor that may be gasoline or petroleum. And that's why the wording as soon as practicable is here in the amendment. It wasn't a result of a discussion with the legal drafter, but it was a result of discussion with the municipality. Now, another thing I would need to look into, sir, is whether or not discovering a release is different from causing a release.
No, Jan? Not under the reporting requirements. Under the reporting requirements, if you find it, you have to report it. It's probably a little known fact. And I'm certainly not here saying that they're easy to deal with, that or that the reporting requirements even necessarily make a lot of sense in every circumstance. I'm simply pointing out that there is a difference between this reporting requirement and the reporting requirement that exists in all other statutes.
And if I could add one more thing, the other important thing this amendment does is return a municipality or utility to a strict liability standard if they fail to report. Mm-hmm. So there is a hammer here that's agreed upon by the municipalities and the utilities.
Thank you. Representative Weck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The question I have is, let's take some short assumptions here. If we still require the municipality or utility to report to DEC as it is presently set up, like immediately, mm-hmm. you know, within immediate reasons, pass the bill but still apply this, again, the utility doesn't necessarily, do you require them to shut down by your standards right now if they detect or come upon a substance out there?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Zawacki, as I understand what would happen in a situation like that, an on-site inspection would be conducted by DEC if, in the reporting, it was, you know, they ask kind of leading questions to see how bad the spill is, how much odor there is, what they, if they're stained soil, do they see any pooled oil or gasoline or whatever it happens to be. So the folks at DEC ask these kinds of questions to get as much information as they can in the reporting process. If they determine that it sounds like it's something that needs to be explored further, they will go out and they'll do an on-site inspection. And they, at that point, may require that a site assessment be done. They'll do some monitoring wells to figure out where the stuff is coming from. So in a sense, now I guess it depends on the project. I'm not a contractor, so I don't really know if there's other things that could be going on while this is happening in this spot. I don't know. But they would stop the excavation at that point. And I am not certain, it would just depend on the site-specific situation, whether or not they, I can't imagine them allowing a water line to be laid on top of a contaminated soil. You know, the soil would have to be removed, and it would have to be stabilized so that no more contamination could get in. Not all pipe is petroleum resistant. Some petroleum can damage, lessen the integrity of certain types of pipe. And I'm not a scientist, so I really can't give you a whole lot of information about that either. I just know that's a situation that can exist.
Mr. Primo, are you online in Anchorage?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is Mark Primo.
Thank you, Mr. Primo. We've got a number of questions for the municipality here. If you just heard the question asked by Representative Zawacki to Janice Adair of the Department of Environmental Conservation, I wonder if you could respond to it, please.
If I understand that question correctly, we were talking about the as soon as practical clause in the last part of the amendment to the legislation.
Yes, sir, that is correct. And also what the municipality does as standard operating procedures, sir, when you come across some hazardous material when you're working in a right-of-way, as this bill would affect you.
Yes. Presently, when we come across hazardous material in the right-of-way, we do have our contractors, and specifically our inspectors, instructed to work with the contractor and immediately shut the job down, because DEC works on the premise that once you identify a hazardous material in the right-of-way, they look at it as a spill, and they want that reported immediately so corrective actions can be taken. And that may include all the way through an environmental assessment and cleanup of that material. And DEC can, if they so choose, look at us as the responsible party. What we are after is an amendment which does not have us as the responsible party, because we are not the responsible party for the spill. We just happen to be the discoverer of the spill. And to that end, I understand the differentiation between DEC in looking at a spill and reporting an immediate release and the need to immediately contact the local DEC office to take immediate cleanup procedures to prevent any damage from that continuing or recently discovered release. But please understand, the material that we're talking about is usually an antiquated release that has happened generally a long time frame ago and is deep in the soil structure and is not immediately threatening to any individual or biological or other types of life forms. And from that standpoint, we believe as soon as practical is a good use of the words there, because we are not endangering anyone. And our key thing that we want to do is be able to keep the job moving and not have to pay downtime to a contractor while we report the incident to DEC and determine what action needs to be taken.
So, Mr. I have a question here, sir. Mr. Primo, on... then you would continue the construction and continue the excavation, and let's say lay a water line or a water pipe as you go through the process of informing DEC. Is that correct?
Assuming this amendment was passed, is that the question, sir?
Yes, sir.
Yes, if this amendment was passed, what we would do is we would propose to take field samples at the time that the soil was encountered that was contaminated, which could be further analyzed at a later date. We would immediately notify DEC, immediately being probably in the next 1 to 2 working days as our inspector came off the job site, inform an individual in the office that could take care of the necessary transfer of information to DEC. And we would also record both the horizontal and vertical alignment of the contaminated soil that we had discovered at that point in time.
All right, sir. Then in your estimation, you're laying a water line, you excavate it, you're laying the pipe, you find some contaminated material, you keep laying the pipe. What about the chance of that contaminated material contaminating other material? Or what would the problems be in terms as if DEC comes out or is determined that it has to all be cleaned up? What would the problems be to that pipe you just laid? Would you have to tear it back up again, or would you be able to excavate the contaminated material without hurting the pipe?
Yes, sir, I understand the question. There's 4 questions there. 1, what do we do with the contaminated material that is excavated as trench excavation? That material, assuming it was not too contaminated, i.e. it was not dripping in petroleum products. If it was dripping in petroleum products, we would not proceed to the contaminated area. Assuming it was not dripping in petroleum products, which is the normal case, we would take that material to our operations center at King Street, where it would be spread out in accordance with DEC guidelines until it went to a final disposal site. Therefore, we would not contaminate with any of the existing soil. 2, the new soil that was put back in that would be required as backfill and ultimately the road prism, yes, that material would be contaminated in contact with the remaining amount of petroleum products or whatever the hazardous substances in the soil. And yes, that material most likely, when the ultimate cleanup decision is made regarding that spill area, might add to the extra cost of the cleanup because that would be soil that would not have been there originally. And the last answer is our pipe that we use in the municipality of Anchorage is ductile iron pipe. And assuming it is not some really hybrid chemical element other than just a normal petroleum distillate, can stand up to that type of product.
All right. I'm going to open this up for questions, and I'd like for Janice Adair to also feel free to ask questions. Our goal, Mark, is to put this out of committee with the blessing of DEC and to try and move it along. Therefore, we need to know your answer on a couple things. First of all, I'll ask just a question or two myself. On the amendment, the second from the bottom line, the words as soon as practicable, would you have any problem, sir, if that was changed to as required by existing law?
Obviously, we would like as soon as practical, but as required by existing law, we would be in favor of that. Our working relationship with DEC has been such that they have been reasonable in the enforcement of those words.
All right. Thank you, Mark. On the second, my second question is a proposed amendment on page 2 of House Bill 299, page 2, line 22. The word occurs, and I would ask Ms. Adair to address her concerns on that issue, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I understand from Joan, the reason why the word occurs is in there is in the event that during the excavation, some soil is removed and an old spill or some contamination that occurred at some other point in time comes into the right-of-way. So it wasn't discovered necessarily in the right-of-way, but it moves into the right-of-way as a result of the excavation, right,
and
Joan?
And to add to that, the municipality is acting under their standard operating procedures. They're acting reasonably, and there is no negligence, wrongful conduct, or recklessness on the part of the municipality or utility in their actions.
Now, the only thing that I'd like, the concern that I have about that is in working on different pieces of legislation over the year, what ends up happening, as should, if the legislation gets interpreted by its face, what the words actually mean. And, I mean, that's what we all want. So, what does occur mean? Occur means it happens as a result of. And while we have one situation that's trying to be dealt with, that Joan and I have just discussed, occurs can also mean happens as a result of the excavation. They weren't being negligent. They were doing exactly what they were supposed to do. But in that, one was caused by the municipality. I would probably feel better if occurs was perhaps defined in this section to mean something specific to deal with the issue that you want to deal with and not deal with anything broader than what you want to deal with.
Thank you. I'll just hold off a minute, Mark, on your response. Representative Phillips.
No. Go on. Go on.
Mark, would you care to respond on that, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I have no problems with what Janice was speaking to. We are also looking for the intent of the legislative effort to be that of just not having to deal with spills that we do not produce and we discover in the context or in the actual operation of our excavation. I would just like to note, though, that also within our municipal standards, and I can't speak for other communities within the state, but within our municipal standards, should a contractor cause a spill in his work of the job site, he would be responsible for that spill.
Mr. Chairman, may I?
Thank you. Would you respond, please?
I just would point out also for the committees, just to recall, just to your memory, that we have in a lot of cases in Alaska what's called force accounting, where the municipality is the contractor. So you need to, you won't always have a sophisticated situation like Anchorage where they hire someone in and there's someone else to share that responsibility or to have that responsibility. You have a lot of communities, many with limited resources, that are the contractor on jobs.
Thank you. Representative Lehman, do you have any suggestions on this amendment?
Mr. Chairman, this is the first time I've seen the amendment. I'm just trying to figure out what it does. And I read through it. I think all that I see is you've defined utility and reorganized it and added a subparagraph L. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I mean, in practicality, I think what I talked about earlier, this is probably what's going to happen, and I didn't understand Mark Primo's response to it. Mark, you want to run it by again? Do you have a problem with subparagraph L?
Mr. Primo, could you
page two.
You respond to Representative Lehman's question, please.
Paragraph L. We would like to see the words as soon as practical be the intent, but as required by law, we also understand the need to move through the process, and DEC, at least in our district, has been reasonable in the interpretation of that portion of the law.
Representative Lehman?
Yeah, I agree with what Mr. Primo just said. It should be just as required by law, and then let the department determine that in its implementation of its regulations. That to me would be a far better way to put it in our statutes.
Thank you, Representative Lehman. On the other question, page two on the bill itself, the word occurs. Do you have any comments on that, sir? Page two, Representative Lehman, line 22.
On the amendment, it's on.
Oh, it's on the bill itself. I circled it for you there. Mr. Primo, while Representative Lehman is finding his question, sir, I've got another question. You made a comment a little bit earlier in reference to the contaminated material dripping with oil or something along those terms. What if you just dug something up and it smelled a bit and was a little bit discolored? What would your actions be then, sir?
Mr. Chairman, I think that's what this bill is exactly pointed at. And our actions would be to continue on and moving through the job. job site, taking the excavated material away, storing it at our facility site, reporting the spill to DEC, and identifying the extent of the plume that we discovered during our excavation.
Thank you. Go ahead, Janice. Okay, you got some questions for me?
Yeah. One, Mark, this is Janice. The one concern that I have about that is you can have contamination that really far exceeds the level that is safe or acceptable that isn't dripping with oil. And I'm just, or, you know, some other hazardous substance that maybe isn't gasoline or petroleum-based at all, but something that, you know, is not as easy to spot. And I guess I just have a practical concern as a citizen also about laying down water pipe or utility lines on top of soil that may be more contaminated than allowed by state law. And then you have to come back, someone has to come back, the owner who maybe has limited resources or the state has to come back and dig it all up again, maybe move that water pipe, move the lines, and I just don't know, practically speaking, what you would do if this is what you want to do.
Mr. Primo, your response, please.
Yes, Janice, I understand what your concern is, and I see three concerns there. One concern is the immediate contact with the worker in the trench, and we share that concern. I don't think we would ever put ourselves in a position to jeopardize that worker's health. However, we have to be practical in the sense of what we've been dealing with, and in reality, all we have found in these cases are that of petroleum byproducts. Obviously, if we ran into another type of material that we were foreign with, we would stop the operation until we identified what that material was and deal with it properly. Regarding the part of, well, you don't deal with it now, you got to deal with it later. What happens then? Well, I got a job that's 3 or 4 years old at the airport that's in the same situation. And I really don't believe that our trench that might be 10 feet deep and 4 feet wide at the bottom and dozen so feet at the top wide is probably minuscule in volume to the amount of dirt that will have to be moved if it's an extensive spill. So I really don't believe the impact, the cost of that dirt would be substantial to the overall cleanup process. And also, you will find that usually our lines are either paralleling in or bisecting a plume, so we are just a small portion of the overall plume area. And I don't think it's proper for the non-responsible party, be it either the state or utility or the municipality, to pay for the cleanup of the spill they didn't cause, and at the same point in time, hinder the development of a parcel of land or the betterment of an existing parcel of land through the lack of utility services. Now, regarding our water line being in contact with that contaminated substance, that contaminated substance is just going to have the pressure related to the height of groundwater over it, or even if there is any groundwater over it, and our lines are at a minimum of 40 to 50 PSI, so if there is a break in our line, water moves out. Water contaminated material doesn't move in. And I'm not sure if that is a concern of ours so much in the sewer end, where we do have treatment plants in the downstream end.
Well, Mark, on that same issue, if you have water moving out, as it moves out, it takes contamination with it as it moves through the soil.
That's true, Janice. I couldn't agree with you more. And in that case, we would be spreading the existing plume, no question about that. But also, we're not digging up every inch of our 680-plus miles of water line daily. So that, to me, is, like anything else in this type of business, some sort of a calculated risk. And I think those calculated risks are justifiable in areas where you don't have gross contamination, that being what I was referring to as dripping-type soils. In other words, if we came to an area where we literally had standing petroleum products, we would halt that construction until we identified what to do. But you come to an area where you have a soil horizon which has been stained and is odorous with the passing through of petroleum product, that's what we're after here.
One more question. Go ahead, Janice.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mark, do you think that the passage of this bill, which only would limit would remove a municipality's strict liability standard, would allow you to continue a project where there was contamination, or in other words, disallow DEC from stopping that project while the contamination source was discovered and the contamination in the right-of-way was dealt with. Do you think that the passage of this bill alone would allow you to continue the project?
Mr. Primo?
My limited knowledge of all the regulations of the state regarding the release of hazardous materials,
I know.
I believe it would. The other thing, too, is that I want to make sure is on the record, the decision to stop these projects has not been that of DEC. It has been that of the municipality and not wanting to have to deal with DEC in terms of being the responsible party for the cleanup.
Because then we'll be the ones trying to educate.
Representative Zwacky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I shouldn't raise my hand and stay out of classroom. Mr. Spiro, I guess I look at it in a different light. I wish you luck, but I don't think anybody is going to allow you to continue with the project by any of our laws. This bill only talks about relieving you of a liability factor. It does not relieve you or anybody else, whether municipality or utility, from proceeding if there is a contaminant out there, no matter how minor or how major out there. And you know, with all due respect, I have a concern of that. If you are assuming that you can proceed with a project knowing that there is a contaminant or knowing that there might be contaminant without DEC verifying it out there. We're trying to help you relieve you of the liability, but if there's a contaminant, it's got to be cleaned up. And I can't see reusing or replacing a contaminant on a project and then having somebody else come back who may be responsible for that out there.
Representative Zwacky, I hope I'm not shooting myself in the foot here,
but
we presently are in detailed discussions with the South Central Office of DEC regarding an operational scenario, which is exactly what I just stated. However, this bill addresses the liability, and the local office of DEC realizes that certain levels of contaminated soils are not that dangerous in place in the trench excavation prism, nor are they that dangerous when they are removed and relocated to a proper site where they can also not cause a pollution release and subsequently can be cleaned up with either at leisure or as money permits. In other words, just like you see all these gas stations around the state, you basically have excavated material sitting upon tarps using an aeration process for the cleansing of that soil.
Thank you, Mr. Primo. Representative, did you have another?
Yeah, maybe just one more comment. You were talking about and which is being done now, not only on a state level, but also within the municipal or borough levels. It will be on a case-by-case basis, whether it's at the state, or if you have a private owner, commercial, and they go to the municipality, you're going to deal on it on a case-by-case basis out there. And again, I think, I'll check a little further, I don't think you should be assuming that all of the future projects that you suddenly do come up with a contaminant or contaminant easement as you're moving forward, you can assume that you're going to continue with that project, eventually get the DEC and advise them that you believe there's a contaminant, and then let them make a decision after the fact. They will still have to give you approval to move forward with that project.
Thank you, Representative Zwacky. I have Representative Lehman here for just a second, but first I'd like to make a statement. Mark, this bill was introduced strictly, once again, as a liability bill. No way was the sponsor intending that it would release you of any of your duties as accordance to existing state law. Representative Lehman.
Thanks, Chairman. Mark, I don't think you were there when I testified earlier on the bill, but I stated that I envisioned a practice where, we'll say the municipality of Anchorage, it doesn't matter, any municipality or utility may or will have an agreement with the DEC on certain substances, and it could be you know, a patch of oil or something like that, and the agreement may be, you know, if it's found in certain condition that you so noted in the construction logs, continue the construction, and notify the DEC within a certain period of time, and then that's just something that you can determine with the DEC. But anytime you come across any other contaminant or material that you're not sure of, that would be when DEC would be notified, you shut the job down, you take a sample, determine what it is, and in all cases are looking to preserve the you know, the life and health of the worker. And you know, and I think that's something that can probably is being done and should continue to be done with DEC. But I see this bill as enhancing that working relationship between DEC and the owners that may be doing the construction.
Right, Representative Lehman, I agree totally in what you have said regarding the bill and the bill's intent. And Mr. Chairman, we understand that this bill is just a liability question. It has nothing to do with the operative procedures of how we actually implement our activities should we end up in an area where there is hazardous substance discovered. And that's why we are working on an operative agreement with DEC. The one thing this bill does for us, though, that is very important, is that now, should we discover a release of hazardous substance in our work area, in the right-of-way, we report that to DEC. We then can be the responsible party for the cleanup, and that is really what we're after here.
All right, thank you. Mark, please stay online here for a few minutes, if you don't mind. I'd like to bring the committee attention back to the amendment, Representative Lehman, that I'd ask you to comment on. And I also found that the word occurs shows up on line 22, page 2 of the bill itself. And it's also on the first paragraph there, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down on the amendment. And I would like to entertain or look at what you think of just taking the word occurs or out on at both of those locations, if that would satisfy DEC, Ms. Derrick.
Mr. Chairman, that would satisfy DEC.
Representative Lehman?
Mr. Chairman, I didn't hear the original concern, but I guess in just looking at it, and I defer to Janice and her judgment on this, but we're talking about a release of liability if it just occurs. I mean, if it's there and if it's not discovered, I mean, is there liability for that, or if it's discovered by somebody else's action or excavation and not the excavation of the municipality or utility company? I mean, the fact that it occurs, it may still be there, but we just may not have that knowledge.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah. Wherever it is,
right here.
Representative Lehman, I understand what you're saying, and I think that that's why occurs was put in there. But my concern was is that occurs is also a broader term than that, and could be something that occurs as the result of something that was done or not done by the municipality in that right-of-way. I had suggested perhaps a definition of the term occurs, so that everybody knows exactly what we're talking about and that we're not talking about anything more than that. So I understand exactly what you're saying. I just believe that occurs as a broader term than that.
Even with the disclaimer in the last part of the paragraph, it says unless this release or threatened release is caused by actions, you know, that or emissions that constitute negligence, recklessness, or intentional misconduct. You still have that concern?
Yes, Representative Lehman, we do. Now, as I stated at the very beginning, and I know you weren't in the room, we did not have the opportunity to have the Attorney General's office look this over for us, and I am certainly willing to admit that upon their review, they may say that there is no basis for a concern. But I see that as a potential problem, and I am uncomfortable not pointing it out since we haven't had the benefit of that review.
Mr. Chairman, I suggest that what we do is just point it out and maybe put this on a list of things for the Attorney General to consider in review of this bill instead of those of us in here who probably have, except for some of them, some of us here have little legal training other than what we get in the practical realities of life in the legislature.
Thank you, Representative Lehman, for that enlightenment. Mark, do you have any problem for as it goes now, taking the word occurs or out of the bill?
Mr. Chairman, no, you're not. We agree with what Janice said is the intent of the bill, and that's to release the liability of what we discover. Anything that we cause, we should be liable for, and we concur with that.
All right, sir, thank you. I'm going to call a 5-minute at ease. Okay. Yeah, we're back in committee's back in session. We have a proposed amendment in front of the committee. First one is line 22, page 2 of the bill. Take the words occurs or out. Excuse me, as a point of order here, could I have a motion, please, to adopt the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would like to, for the record, adopt House Bill 299 at this time.
Thank you. Are there any objections? Thank you. The bill has been adopted. Now we'll take up, we have two amendments this committee's discussed. First one is the one I just brought to your attention, Representative Phillips.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the entire amendment and make the changes as specified.
All right, Representative Phillips, the entire amendment is moved, which includes on line 21, page 2, take out the words occurs or, and on the amendment offered by myself on the fourth line down of paragraph K, Representative Brown, to take out the words occurs or, and on the second to the last line to remove the words as soon as practical, and to insert the words as required by existing law. And I would like Representative Lehman.
Mr. Chairman, I just suggest you delete the word existing, just as required by law. That it is the existing law, but I think that would be a better way to phrase it.
Thank you, Representative Lehman. The amendment will read as required by law. Could I have a motion, or Representative Zawacki?
Yeah, I just, what you're saying is that on the line above the very last line, after departments, you're eliminating everything up to alternatives and then putting in as required by law. You're not putting in the suspicion to the departments as required by law, considering the location. We don't want considering location. You don't need it.
Right. That's correct, Representative Zawacki. That's correct. Could I have a motion to adopt the amendments, please?
So moved, Mr. Chairman. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I had given you a motion to adopt the amendment with the changes, so I think that would cover it.
Thank you. Is there any objections?
I'm going to object just for a moment so I can read it, if you don't mind, since I just arrived.
Representative Brown is reading the amendment, and the record should reflect that Representative Brown joined us. Primo, are you still on in Anchorage?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. It's this chairman's intent to move the bill out of committee today with the amendments as proposed. Representative Brown.
I will remove my objection, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Phillips.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move the amended bill out of committee with the individual recommendations.
Is there objection? Hearing none. House Bill 1299 is moved from committee with individual recommendations. CS, committee substitute for House Bill 299. This is my first time. Having no further business to come in front of this special committee on oil and gas, meeting is closed.
My character, what you're talking about.